Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Mary down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and also with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. And then also we're talking fishing walleyes with jigging spoons with Minnesota Pro Guide Grub Rosedahl. Lots to cover on this week's show, coming up right after these messages.
You want to get outdoors, you want to have some fun.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris off-road vehicle from Hayward Power Sports. Right now, claim rebates up to $1,200 and financing as low as 2.99% during our spring sales event. Get more done and have more fun with a new Ranger XP 900 offering a $1,200 rebate. The Polaris Sportsman 570, the off-road's best-selling automatic ATV, is priced to move starting at under $6,000. Or race in for a Razor XP Turbo and grab a $500 rebate on the world's ultimate performance side-by-side. The Polaris Spring Sales Event is on with rebates up to $1,200 and financing as low as 2.99% APR for 36 months. Don't miss out. Come see us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Offer valid in the U.S. through 4/30/18 on select new vehicles. Subject to credit approval, offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and it's starting to look like a little warm up, but as we're standing here, they're forecasting more at white junk.
Yeah, that's right. And I've looked at the 10-day forecast, and I don't see many nights above 32.
No, but a lot of warm days. It's looking like 50, 60 degrees toward, you know.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I hope so too. And we got Mary in here from down here at Hayward Bait. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Still got a bunch of people out there ice fishing, I guess. They're coming in after bait yet?
Well, you got to love it when you can extend the ice fishing season if that's your passion. Not mine, but.
I want to be able to put my boat in. I think Art does too.
Yeah, I do too. But a friend of mine goes out every day and gets his limit of bluegills and crappie. And the other thing that he noted is that the perch right now are probably doing their spawning under the ice.
Oh, that's interesting, but they usually get going pretty early, and, you know, the perch, you'd have to get up pretty shallow for them, I guess.
And about 2 feet of water.
Wow. Yeah, have you heard anything on anybody getting out on any of the rivers up here for trout or after suckers or anything?
We've had quite a few people pick up trout equipment, and they're heading up north and on the Brule, and they're just checking things out. A lot of guys are still going out on Shawmigan Bay and up by Ashland fishing, too.
Yeah, you know, that steelhead season's open now, and I guess there was a lot of fish in there last fall from what I heard.
And that's what I'm hearing, too. They're having a ball up there. So I haven't been up, so I can't say it personally, but anytime there's open water, I'm sitting on the bank. I don't care what's in there. If nothing else, the sunshine is great.
And she showed me a picture of one of those little suckers she caught, and it wasn't little.
A big red horse?
Yeah. But the thing that also the DNR has just done on the 8th, on the 10th, I'm sorry, yes, on the 10th, they put in 740,000 catchable trout in 400 waters in the state.
Well, you know, trout fishing is pretty popular. I mean, a lot of things, and we've got a lot of trout streams in Wisconsin.
We have better trout fishing, I think, now, and more people are trout fishing because it's not so confused. You know, you can use live bait here, you can't use live bait here, you can't keep them here. They're kind of doing away with that garbage and just saying you can have 3 or 5 or whatever the number is.
Well, you got the DNR and also some clubs and stuff have done some restoration work on trout streams too.
Much.
And I know you guys are busier than heck down here just trying to get this store whipped into shape because we're only a few weeks away from the fishing season here.
Oh, yeah. We've got boxes and boxes still to unload. What I think is really cool for the ladies out there, and I know I'm not the only one that's an avid fisherwoman, but the designers are finally starting to focus on us. And we've got some really cute G. Loomis hats with pink and grays and flannels. And there's some awesome flishoflage jackets here. Lots of stuff for the ladies. And just walk in the door and just smell all those scented baits when you come in. It's great.
You got a lot of stuff in here, and there's going to be more by the time it's all set up. And I know even boating equipment, electronics and boating equipment.
Oh, yeah. All the toys are coming in. The manual and automatic life jackets. There's just all this brand new ideas coming through, and it's fun to open each box. It's like Christmas every day. Come on now.
If they need something, stop in.
Oh, and we even have the trout books for you. So if you're curious about trout fishing and want to give it a try, we've got the books here free from the DNR to show you where you can fish and what to use.
Well, thank you for coming on here. And we're going to talk about the Conservation Congress here a little bit real quick, Art. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of some interesting things on there too, wasn't there?
Yeah, there sure was. We had a meeting that was fairly well attended in winter. I was surprised, really. I thought it was a pretty good population attendance.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, of course, we publicized it and tried to get stuff on the radio, but, you know, there were some things on there that, you know, I think were some really good ideas with some of the crappie and panfish bag limits and doing some stuff and some proposals at the end of the meeting even.
I think the intention is to try to get a more harvestable fish, and there's ways to do it. I think that Max Walter, our local fish biologist, has been right on top of that, trying to do what he can locally. And I think it's kind of catching on statewide.
Yeah, you bet. You know, so, you know, and a lot of that information is out there on their website. You can find that stuff, what was up there and everything.
Yep, that's true. And one of the things that we've talked about that we were really concerned about was the idea of running the license fee for a guide from $40 to $250.
That's a big jump.
Well, yeah, and I was checking the internet. I used to be a realtor, so I understand what you have to do to become a realtor. And their current license fee is $75. And if you're a pharmacist, your initial first year, it's going to cost you about $379, but after that, $97 a year. Now, there's something screwy with the imbecile that came up with the idea of $250 for a guide.
Well, that didn't come from the DNR.
No, that came from a local...
Not local here, but...
Well, not local here, but it came from a warden retired who originally got together and put that together. And if you're concerned about it as an individual, just go to both of your senator specifically and whoever's in your House of Representatives on a statewide basis, but in your county.
We did have one guy that was with the conservation stuff for a long time, stood up and he said the truth. He said, look, he said, you know, I don't care how they worded that, and he worded it so it would pass, you know, made it look like the guides are taking everything from the resource. The guides out there, for the most part, have done more to educate anglers, to bring new people into the sport, to work with the DNR, tagging studies, and all kinds of things.
Alan Gerber is the guy that made that presentation down there. Al resigned from the Conservation Congress about three or four years ago, and he's still involved locally. I resigned too this past year, or this year, and they picked a new guy, which I think you know him quite well. And we have five back on the board full time.
Yeah.
So that's good. But I'm really concerned, John, that our legislators have kind of castrated the Conservation Congress.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have to talk about that on another show right now. Right now, we're going to have to take a break and hear from some of our sponsors. I've got an interview coming up in the next part of the show. Then we're going to be back with more on your outdoors, so stay tuned.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Can-Am machines are designed to make your heart race. And now they're available at heart-stopping prices. For a limited time, get up to a $2,000 rebate on select 2018 models, like the thrilling Maverick X3, the all-enduring Defender, and the heavy-duty Outlander. Spring Fever ends April 30th, so head to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval. See your dealer for details or find them online at haywardpowersports.com.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And this segment of the show, I'm going to talk with fishing guide Tim Duffy in here a little bit. And, I got to throw a little interview in here from one of the guides that I've run before over in Minnesota, Bro Brosdahl, talking about jig spoons and more aggressive, getting fish more on more aggressively as far as the hip baits. Let's hear what he has to say, and then we're going to talk to Tim about that a little bit.
Well, Bro, I know one thing you do a lot of is you fish a lot of jigging spoons now for walleyes.
Oh, yeah. I happened onto it by accident. I had some a good perch bite going, and I was catching perch, but the walleyes were hitting it too. And I tried it without any minnow, using traditional buckshot rattle spoons in the beginning. And I was finding I was catching walleyes without any bait on there a lot of times, just ripping it, and when it tumbles down into place, that's when they'd hit. And so I started experimenting with a different jigging style baits besides just spoons, the puppet minnow, which has a hook on each side and a treble at the bottom, and it's a horizontal bait. Spoons are vertical. Sometimes they want the spoon. When you're jigging, it looks like an injured minnow rising and falling. The nice thing about a spoon, like a buckshot, macho minnow, or a puppet minnow, you can fish any depth of water. You can fish 20, 40, 60, 80 feet, just like you're fishing 10. It doesn't matter. It gets right down there. It's for me, being into ice fishing big time, I'm so used to ice fishing that I like to ice fish in the open water too. So I'm watching my screen, watching the bait, and just see how the fish react to it. Some lakes are very, very much oriented towards spoon bites and puppet minnow bites. You can go out there and you can catch tons of fish on it. You go to the next lake, it's different. Every lake has its own personality, but it's definitely something to try. I do like live bait rigging, but there's something about ripping that spoon and catching a fish. It's the true artificial. You're catching them on metal.
What tells you when to go from, say, a traditional jig presentation to a spoon, for instance?
If the fish are down there and they're not biting, that's when I put a spoon on or a puppet on. Because a lot of times, if you're not even marking the fish, they're so close to the bottom, and once in a while you see them, that's when I'll drop that spoon and let it hit the sand or on the rocks. You'll lose a few if you're in the rocks. But when you're bouncing it right down there in their face, that's when you get that instinctive reactive strike. Later on, plus you get the spoon and the puppet down faster. So I'd say I like doing it if the bite's off, or if you're fishing a little deeper water, or if you get into 20, 30 feet, it takes a while for the jig to fall. And if you use too heavy of a jig, sometimes your bait isn't floating or in the strike zone very often. But you can get more action, more tumble out of a spoon. But you can add bait. I use minnow heads on there. I'll even put some maggots or waxies on the puppets or the machos or any other spoons, just add a little scent to it. But it's all the action you get. If you overload your spoon with meat, it doesn't act right. You want that spoon to tumble and fly all over the place. You're covering water, you're getting flash, you're making noise as it hits the bottom, and of course the buckshot rattle spoon has a rattle chamber, a little tube in there, so that triggers strikes too.
Well, Bro, I know when we're talking about walleye fishing here, and it seems to be, from what I'm getting from you, if it's in the wintertime as well as in the summertime or in the fall, sometimes the guys go out there, you hear a lot about finesse fishing these walleyes, and you're trying to coerce them to bite, but sometimes you're better off trying to trigger a strike, a reactive strike, by moving it faster or snapping it.
Absolutely, and it happened when I qualified for the FLW championship on Wasota. And I kept hearing, what a terrible bite out there. And I was going out and getting 40, 50 walleyes a day and wondering where the terrible bite was. But I was using spoons and puppet minnows. Lost a lot into the cribs, but when I figured out where they were, I stayed just a little bit away from them. And you'd put the brakes on. Don't drop it right into them because you're going to get hung up. But you can fish. It's so versatile. Just you got to really pay attention to your electronics. I use a big screen Hummingbird because I want to see everything. On that, I can see the turbulence of the fish moving around the boat. I see little blue streaky things, and I zigzag until I see the fish right underneath me. Then I'll put the spoon just a little bit above them. And when you're doing this, remember, you want to do the first jig, real good sweeping jig, but don't keep doing it unless the fish are active. A good sweeping jig lets them know it's there, then do the subtle presentations. Experiment with it. Every lake's different. Back at home of one lake, you could just sit and rip it like you rip jig in a minnow with a puppet behind the boat. It's got three different line ties. I go to the front line tie and I flip it out just like it's a jig and minnow. And it's catching on. I've cashed a lot of checks and tournaments off that. I've had guide clients in the boat sitting next to me, and I'll do that experimenting if I'm fishing that day with them. And I'll have 10 fish on that thing, and they're reluctant to take the jig and minnow off or the live bait rig because that's how they're used to fishing. But usually about 10 fish, then they'll switch over. So there's a little stubbornness in that, but honestly, if you give it a try, if it doesn't work on one lake, try it on the next lake.
Bro, when you're talking about fishing fast like that and snapping and snap jigging, you know, any particular preference on that type of line or rod?
Absolutely. I like using a 10-pound bionic line by Northland. It's not going to wrap around the treble hook on the puppet or on the spoon as much. You want the line to be a little thicker so it lays vertical in the water column. If you're using a super braid, it seems to sink and wrap around the bottom. So if you're going to use a super braid, put a shock leader on. And shock leader is really good anyway. When you set the hook, you're actually jigging with the spoon or the puppet. It's a real shocker on your arm because when the fish hits, he's there. You don't even know. You don't feel the bite. You come back up to jig and the fish is there. The shock leader prevents you from totally zippering their mouth. And you see it all the time where people jig too hard and they zipper a big hole in the side of the fish where they hooked it and they actually unhook the fish that way. So the shock leader prevents you from doing that to the fish. Keeps you from tangling, and generally go with a heavier shock leader when you're using a spoon. And shock is just a name. It absorbs a lot of the punch of super braids. And typically you can go with 2 or 3 feet. Fish don't care. They don't. There can be a little knot above them. It doesn't bother them. It's a rough world, rough environment down there.
Well, Tim, you know, Bro was talking about using like jigging spoons and jigging rapalas, and that seems to be the thing that's catching on now because people are they're trying to make fish bite, especially. And you could actually, almost any fish out there, you can wait for them to eat something, but you can also get more aggressive, and that's where trolling comes in. They're not looking to bait, grab a troll bait. They're grabbing something that goes by them.
I think that's definitely true. Winter or summer, I know in the summertime, if we're trolling, like a lot of guys, you can use planing boards, downriggers, and all that stuff. But if I don't have to, we just throw the light. You've seen me do that right out there in the water. Mm-hmm. You throw the behind the boat, not that far, shad wraps, whatever, and keep it above the weeds and stuff, and then you're constantly snapping it.
Yeah, trigger.
And my at this stage of the game, my wrist, my arms, my elbow, but that snapping, if you don't do it, it's the difference between getting a fish to hit and not to hit. And a lot of times those have just one little hook in the skin of their mouth. That's a fish that probably wouldn't have bit anything else unless you were snapping it. If they're really feeding, it's all the way down their mouth. So that snapping definitely works when on the inactive fish. And we go out in the middle of a sunny day on a clear water lake and catch walleyes doing that.
When they're not biting is when you want to use that.
Yes. And, you know, even jigging, like, you know, you can do a slow jig, you know, or you can do a fast one. You got to kind of read the fish and see what they want at the time. But, yeah, it's never the same. And then there's sometimes where trolling works, and then we got to switch to a slip bobber, you know, in the same day. So yeah. you got to do a bunch of stuff, but there's days when that works and it works all day long and you catch a lot of fish.
You bet.
I think the key to what you just said is you have to do it. In other words, don't just do the only way you always do it. Change.
You know, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we come back, I'll be talking to Tim some more here and have more on your outdoors.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, blastomycosis is a serious disease that threatens dogs in our area. Blasto is a fungus that grows in the spring and fall when the soil temperature is 39 degrees. The fatal disease results just 6 to 12 weeks later. Unfortunately, dogs love to dig and sniff in just the type of soil that houses these fungal spores. At Hayward Animal Hospital, they urge you to prevent your dogs from entering swampy areas during the thaw. If you have questions, call the Hayward Animal Hospital at 634-8971, located east of Hayward on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin, and we're talking to Tim Duffy. And Tim, yeah, you know, it's getting to be very much known out there. The jig and rapala, which was an ice fishing lure, is actually a very hot bait for guys who want to jig in the summertime in 18, 20 feet of water for walleyes. It seems like that. But you got to get aggressive with it. You can't sit in there and kind of baby it. You got to snap it hard.
Yeah, and as we said before, you got to read the fish and see what they want.
Right.
Here's something that you talk about new things. I take the little jig and rapala and put it on a slip bobber on a wavy day. And the crappies will hit that thing or a walleye, and there's so many hooks on it that when they hit it, you got them. And so, killer, because the waves are going like this, and it's working that jig through the water. And nobody really does that.
Yeah. The only other thing I would think of, Tim, is somebody might use a real soft tip when they're doing what you're talking about. Your rod has to be relatively stiff. Otherwise, I don't think you get the right move.
Yeah, to get that snap, is you're right. But what happened with me is, once I got tennis elbow and the wrist and the shoulder, I had to go light, but I still snapped it hard to make up for it. But I had to just because it's hard on your body. You know, a lot of the musky fishermen, it kills you to go out there and do that stuff.
Tim, you know, talking about the spring, eventually here we're going to have ice out. I don't think we're going to get any before the opener fishing in, probably for the crappies. But the crappies, there'll be a lot of fish move up shallow as soon as that water starts to warm up.
Well, as we were saying, ice fishing, they're already starting to move shallow.
They're going to be doing that because of the warmth.
But though, I think they kind of, like, they move to certain areas. It could still be deep, but it's closer to the shallow water where they're going to spawn. So there's this migration, and then when the water temperature's right, they're going to go to the shallows. And everybody thinks when the fish go to the shallow, it's spawning. Well, usually they're going to the shallows because it's warm water. And then the spawning takes place after that.
But kind of a magic temperature to enter.
There is. And I've seen them, they'll go in, and they'll move up and down in the water column, and then they'll go back out in a given day following the temperature. When they go to spawn, they go in there and they stay in there. So, yeah, it has to be the right temperature.
I don't know whether this is true or not, but I'd be curious if the water plants have already started underwater. I haven't really checked that.
Probably not much, because there's not much light for them to grow with.
Well,
it needs sunlight.
I know this year, yeah, right. Last year it was totally different, because last year we put our docks in April 5th.
Yeah. Was it that early?
Well, and you know, thinking of last year, I don't know, starting off, we had good weed growth starting off, but yeah, by the end of the summer, we had unbelievable weed growth because it was so warm, and there was even like stuff floating around in the lakes and stuff from the back bays, and then we had a lot of wind. So we had weeds like you couldn't imagine last year. It was just ideal, but it was so hot, and it stayed hot for a long time, and the weeds where they normally you could fish them, they were up to the top, and you couldn't even fish some of those spots.
Well, you know, when we talk about electronics, and I talk about hummingbird stuff a lot, you know, and you finding fish and finding structure, but you know, once we get into May and early May, and we get that first initial water temperature warming up, your best electronics that you've got in your boat is your temperature gauge.
Yep.
And the best thing to see fish with is a pair of eyeballs with some sunglasses.
You know, back in the day, a lot of the units didn't have temperature gauges on them. So I remember buying just a unit on a cord, and you got the temperature. And I'm glad I got onto that, because It's usually the northern or northeast or whatever sides of the lake. We were just talking today about on the north side of the road, there's no snow, and on the other side, there is. Yeah. So that's warmer. So the same thing with the lake. And they can be in other places if there's little bays or something on the south side of the lake. Sure. But usually the north side of a bay or the lakes warms up faster, and the fish tend to go there first.
Well, it's not just every bay they'll go into either. I mean, last year was a good example of that on the Chippewa Flowage, is that a lot of them little coves in back over in the north side of the lake that always had fish in them didn't have any fish in them. And you got to one, you'd find one or two small areas, and you could have a field day on crappies and bluegills. They were all piled in there, but a lot of the areas just didn't have them.
That's true, and I won't name the lake, but there's a lake where I used to fish. This is about 20 years ago. I'd be fishing perch in March after there was about 100 yards of water in front of, you know, and then the ice. And it's amazing how many perch I caught then. Unfortunately, I told a friend about it who told another friend about it, and suddenly there were 20 boats in there the next spring, and then the following spring, there weren't many big fish there because they take the big fish out.
Right.
And I think certain fish, like salmon, I think they go to the same spots to spawn if they can. Look at, where's my dad had that property on the flow? It's that Chief River?
Yeah, that Chief River.
Yeah, that used to be loaded with walleyes, and even muskies and stuff. There's not a lot of fish in there now, so I don't know if it got depleted. I mean, a lot of people fished up in there opening day, you know, and I remember going there at 12 o'clock at night and fishing and not catching a walleye.
Things have changed on that flowage. The lake has aged and changed a little bit as far as the weeds and the water. But it also, I think you have certain genetic factions of that lake of fish that went up the river. There used to be a huge bunch of fish went up the west fork of the river and spawned. And I remember Frank Pratt told me that genetic fish that's not in there anymore. They're seeming like less of them.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, that they either got overfished or whatever. So you got to find new spots.
Yeah.
That's the key, and John has been talking about that with the new hummingbird that he has. He's finding fish that he didn't with the other hummingbird. No, he didn't have
hummingbirds. Well, I've had hummingbirds for years.
Yeah, okay.
The new stuff now is unbelievable. I mean, the side imaging, for one, is if it... You have to take some time to learn it, but you can find, you're going along the edge of a shoreline, and if there's a little finger sticks out underwater, you can pick that up and you can tell if it's rocks on it or what's on it, because it'll actually draw you little pictures of the little rocks on there. So mm-hmm. It's incredible, the detail, but what you use that equipment nowadays, if you get really good at using, like the hummingbird works with the trolling motor, and I didn't put an anchor in last year at all. Walleye fished, crappie fished all summer. I used, and Tim was with us. So one of his customers went out, and it's incredible. That boat won't move more than a foot or two.
It's really nice. I mean, I use an anchor, and that's nice. It held the boat good, and you could adjust it, move. Didn't matter how windy it was. Like you said, if it's calm, it's actually
worse
because it can't, you know.
Not working.
Yeah.
Well, it's trying to figure out boat wakes and everything else, but when you got wind, it locks in and it holds.
Yeah, so very nice. Those units are unbelievable, what you can find. The bad thing is all the structure and stuff that I learned on these lakes years ago, and a lot of time driving and looking, now you can go by a chip.
Yeah, it's all on the chip.
Yeah, so.
Not all of it, but most of it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
If you'd like to have a little information on the hummingbird, stop down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and one of the people will kind of help you out, help you look at it, and show you how it works.
Two big dealers are stocking a lot of hummingbird stuff this year, both sponsors on the show, Hayward Bait and Bottle and Hayward Power Sports, have got a lot of equipment, and they're both knowledgeable on putting it on and rigging it and everything else.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of interesting things on the show today. We're talking about, you ready for spring, Tim? Haven't got your gear out yet.
Yeah. I've been working on the garage, getting the ice stuff put away, but it's kind of depressing because it's just like, you know, we had some warm weather, then we might get some snow. Then you get some, and not a lot of sunlight. So it's just, you just want to, you know, get it to be done with.
Tim, you want to give out your guide information? Somebody looking for a guide this year?
Yeah, they can call me at 715-634-5100.
And Art, we're out of time for this week. I want to remind folks, if they miss a show, I do put the shows up early in the week on our podcast site. You can find that going to our website, which is wnoradio.net. There's links there to our podcast site and also the YouTube channel, which there's radio shows on there too, plus some good videos. But anyway, we're out of time for this week.
Take a youngster along with you this year if you haven't done it before.
And we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.